This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Wednesday. It is a beautiful summer day, and we are so excited to be here with you. We have a lot to get to. I mean, wow, looking over what I have planned for today's show, I'm happy. I'm happy with it. It hasn't even happened yet, and I just have a good feeling. And
that's, this makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle.
That's because we have a lot of good news today. If you haven't been following, there was a historic win last night in a South Texas district special election. Very exciting. Mayra Flores, she flipped the Texas House District. And just to summarize how consequential this is and how big of a deal this is, there's a tweet out there that says, it's difficult to overstate the magnitude of the political earthquake underway in the Rio Grande Valley tonight with 50% of the vote in. Now, that this was last night, so this was before the entire most of the vote came in. Republican Mayra Flores is leading in Texas, where Democrats have dominated for over 100 years. This is an 85% Hispanic district. So a really, really big deal for the GOP, a big deal for Mayra, who they threw a lot of money in that race. And sometimes when you throw a lot of money into these races, which we've seen Democrats do to try to flip states blue, it can be a complete waste of money. You could be throwing your money into the toilet. But in this case, everything was right. And it really does pave the way for what some people think is going to be a red wave. Elon Musk was tweeting about it last night. He voted for Mayra. He also threw his support behind Ron DeSantis in 2024. He thinks he has a better chance of winning. Ron DeSantis thanked him for his support. He said he's focused on 2022, but he always appreciate support from African Americans. That's what I saw on Twitter. You have to double check me on that if that's a direct quote, but I wouldn't put it past him because he's not afraid to stir the pot with those kind of comments. Now, we have a lot of news as far as that goes. We are going to be talking to Ari Hoffman from the Post Millennial about this. He has an interesting piece out about this win, what it means for the midterms, what it means for Republicans, what it means for the red wave. And I'm very, I'm looking forward to that conversation. But I think today what we have to start with is the latest from Joe Biden, because he's always playing the blame game. That goes without saying. And it's becoming increasingly more difficult when he doesn't have the support of the mainstream media. I am in no way saying that they're being hard on him, but they're not going along with these really unbelievable excuses for his performance. I was even watching today, like John Berman and other people were pushing back on some of Biden's hacks and expecting more of an answer than they're getting. But he's trying to blame everyone. And I think it's almost like he must have one of those wheels like they have on Wheel of Fortune where you just spin it and then it goes and then it falls on someone different. So they have all different spots on it. It must say like oil refiners, Putin, Republicans, Ultra MAGA, Ron DeSantis, global warming, and you just every day, and you got to give it a good spin, you know, that's the key on Wheel of Fortune is, or is it Price is Right? I'm trying to think. They both have a wheel at
they
one
do
point.
They do both have a wheel, yeah. Wheel of Fortune is pretty much only a wheel.
Yes.
The Price is Right has the Showcase Showdown wheel.
But you know what? I think the Price is Right wheel is better because you can give it a You go upward instead of just spinning like that. You can give it a little boost. So if I were on The Price is Right, I've thought about this, I would give it a real push forward and then yank it down to give it a good spin. But I think that's what Biden must do every day. He probably doesn't even spin it himself. That's the level of laziness we're at. Someone else spins it and says, all right, Joe, today we're blaming oil refiners. And so that's what happened. It's Wednesday, and news broke that this is from CNN. President Joe Biden is calling on major oil refinery companies to take immediate actions to ramp up supply, telling them in a new letter that historically high profit margins are unacceptable. When I read this, I think he probably did it in his yelling voice from yesterday, which is, I've tried to perfect it. And Jared, you are my harshest critic when it comes to my impersonations. So let me know what you think about this. He says profit margins are unacceptable. It has that modulation. You know what I'm going for?
That's good, but I think you're holding back. I don't think Joe would hold back.
Yeah, I'm not as committed as he is to the yell. His yelling lately doesn't have any rhyme or reason to it. It doesn't matter which word it falls on. It's just, he really just gives it up to God and says, I don't know what I'm going to yell.
The only reason.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh.
The insurance company has to cover it is because of that law.
The only reason. Yeah. So now the only reason that he's upset is the oil refinery companies. And he's mad about their profit margins and the soaring prices at the gas pump. And he sent a letter. Now, this, if I had to sum up this administration or even just the left right now in general, a lot of letters. Do you notice that? There's a lot of letters going around, a lot of open letters. We had the open letters from the 51 intelligence officials telling us that the Hunter Biden laptop, which, by the way, we will get to later today, doing a little masterpiece theater on that. We were told that was had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation, all sorts of open letters. What was the recent open letter that I was annoyed with, Jared? There's so many every single day. There's open letters. Oh,
I think it was open letter from moms at schools. Victims. Oh, it was an open letter from the Uvalde parents, I believe, was the latest open letter.
No, but I wouldn't be mad about that. They can send an open letter. They should be angry. In fact, we have an update on that. There was an open letter that was a far more political that I was frustrated with. I'll try to think of it. But there's just so many open letters from the left every single day. And we have more today because now Joe's sending a letter to these oil companies. And he's upset. And of course, he wants them to ramp up. He wants them basically to drill, baby, drill. And the irony of this cannot be overstated because this is the same guy who ran on shutting down these companies and demonized these companies every chance he got. And we're going to play some flashbacks. Jared, can I have cut one, please? This is Joe Biden. I believe this is at the debate. This is one of my favorite cuts of all time, and let me kind of explain why. I believe the moderator was Kristen Powers, and she was not going to ask Joe Biden about transitioning away from oil. And of course, this was a huge factor of the presidential race, because you had a lot of people in certain states who were worried. You know, is he going to shut down?
Kristen Welker.
Oh, Kristen Powers. She's from CNN. Kristen Welker. Thank you. Kristen Welker is NBC. So the reason this was a huge issue is because you have people whose jobs and livelihoods depend on this industry, and they want to know, is this guy going to shut it down? It's a really important topic, which is why none of these moderators, none of these Democrats with press passes were ever going to ask Joe Biden to answer that question. It's a very easy question as a reporter. You know, do you plan to transition away from the oil industry? That's a very easy question. None of them are going to ask it. And I remember thinking to myself, Trump's going to have to ask it. He's going to have to play both debater and debate moderator. And that's exactly what he did. And the moderator was very upset, not because Trump asked the question, which I'm sure she was upset about, but because Joe Biden, against the advisement of, I'm sure, all of his handlers and the person speaking in his ear, who could have been the Easter Bunny in hindsight, didn't want him to answer this, period. And he wouldn't have had to. She was getting ready to move on. Take a listen. Cut one.
I would transition from the oil industry, yes.
Oh,
I will
that's
transition.
A big statement.
It is a big statement.
That's a
because
big statement.
I would stop.
Why would you do that?
Because the oil industry pollutes significantly. Oh.
I see. Here's the deal. But
that's
you can't
a big statement.
That. Well, if you let me finish the statement, because it has to be replaced by renewable energy over time.
Also, would you close?
Now, that should have been the end of his campaign. That should have been enough for Americans to say, we can't do this. We can't afford this. We do not have enough infrastructure, enough power in this new industry, this green initiative, climate change industry, to warrant transitioning away from oil. We don't have it yet. It's not there. We should all be afraid of that. It's going to put us in a really precarious position, not just here, not just for people at the pump, but around the world, because oil is the name of the game. Energy is the name of the game. And as you can see by what's been happening lately, when the United States is not energy independent, it's not good for anyone. It might be good for a couple of countries, but it's not good for most of our allies when things are not running smoothly here. So that should have been a major deal. But people still turned a blind eye, and they still ignored it, and they still thought, oh, the grandfather with ice cream, it'll all be fine. And now he's out there saying, you need to drill more or else. He's very upset. Now, you just have to picture these oil oligarchs, you know, the big four spinning their mustaches, making all their money off gas. You have to picture
the big four controlling it all.
You have to picture just the amount of laughter they must be having in their offices when they get this letter. Oh, this guy who wanted to run us out of town? This guy who vilified us for years is now yelling at us that we have to do what he says? It's you couldn't make it up if you tried. They have old cuts of John Kerry saying there's no reason we should drill more. These people were thrilled at the idea of no more drilling. And now they want to bully the oil refiners into doing what they want. Ha. If I were one of these guys or ladies who's ever in charge, I would get a good chuckle out of this. I'd be like, oh, tell us more about what you want us to do. And there's an excellent piece in the Wall Street Journal that explains why these companies are not eager to do what Joe Biden says and not eager to go along with their new idea. And it's actually very simple when you boil it down. They know that even though right now Joe Biden wants them to do X, Y, Z, that when he's no longer in a pinch, when he's no longer politically desperate, when his poll numbers aren't plunging and people aren't upset about $5 gallon gas, the second that goes away, guess what he's going to do? He's going to go right back to this unicorn fairy dust talk about eliminating the oil industry. He's going to go right back to all of that. And they know it. And so why would they do what he says? And when you think about it, this is a pattern with him. He comes into office and he's calling the Saudis pariahs. He has no problem talking tough about the Saudis. And next week, he's going to go hat in hand to them, asking for gas, asking for oil. He loves to morally posture and never think of down the line what's actually going to be beneficial to Americans, what we actually need in this country. It's all about what makes him feel good, what makes him feel like he can get up on stage and yell at people. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much everybody else suffers because of it. Because he got his little talking point. He felt like, you know, tough guy Joe Biden who took on Corn Pop. He feels like the hero. He's a fool. He's a fool. And anyone who voted for him, I didn't even plan on saying this right now, but I will say because I'm frustrated. Anyone who voted for him should have embarrassment right now. Not secondhand embarrassment. You should have firsthand embarrassment.
Aren't you embarrassed?
This is the product of your stupidity to vote for this guy. It's terrible. It's just pitiful what's happening in this country. We're going to play more of these flashbacks. I'm going to read you this piece from the Wall Street Journal. We have a lot of great stuff planned for today. Ari Hoffman, masterpiece theater of Hunter Biden's text to his sister-in-law / lover, Hallie Biden, and just a lot more. So don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
No more drilling on federal lands. No more drilling, including offshore. No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period.
How's that working out for you, everybody? This is the part of it that's infuriating to me. I was just explaining this to Hallie. I said, none of this should come as a surprise. No one should be blindsided. He was saying these things proudly. He was boasting about it. And now he's going to turn around and he's going to tell the oil refinery companies what to do. I don't think that's going to work out well. And I want to read this to you from the Wall Street Journal. But by the way, before we go to that, I got a lot of people already tweeting at me saying, this is the Ron DeSantis cut. He really did say it. Let's play it for them, Jared, so everybody knows that, yeah, Ron has a really, really, he's got his finger on the pulse of what to say to go viral, and he knows what fights to pick. And so if you missed this, Elon Musk was actually tweeting about him last night. He was also tweeting about the special election in Texas, which we're going to talk about later. But he was asked about Elon Musk throwing his support behind DeSantis. And take a listen to what DeSantis had to say.
Elon Musk. So what I would say, you know, I'm focused on 2022. But with Elon Musk, what I would say is, you know, I welcome support from African Americans. What can I say?
I got to say, I am.
You got good blood, kid.
I'm really leaning towards DeSantis 24. I mean, I just think he has. You know what I read yesterday? That he, if he's elected president, not only will he be on the younger end of presidential of presidents, but also as far as net worth goes, he's just like a regular guy. He does not have millions of dollars. He's not an author like Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. He's still got student loan debt. He's got, I read that he's got like 21 grand of student loan debt. And he just seems like a more mild Donald Trump. Same type of values, but just a little bit less looking for a fight. And as someone who, you know, after 2020, I think a lot of people felt like so frustrated with the way the election went. And I understand that. But the further out we get, the more I just want to win. I don't really care if at first I thought I really want Trump to get a second term just to really stick it to all these people, all these Democrats who, you know, tried to take him down. But I think there's too much at stake now where I just want to win. I just want to win in a blowout. Like, I don't want to win in a close race. I don't want it to be like it was in 2020 where we're waiting for 4 days. I want it to be such a massive victory that they can't cheat, they can't steal it, they can't contest it. It's just done. Because the way this country's going right now, we can't afford anything else. We can't afford a close call, in my opinion. When we come back, I'm going to read a little bit of this piece in the Wall Street Journal. It's really great. It kind of lays it all out because it is hard to understand sometimes when you have Joe Biden saying, you know, they should be drilling more. And you think, well, why aren't they? Well, this explains it to you. But before we go, can I get a little bit of John Kerry? This is also a flashback. This is cut six.
And energy security worry is driving a lot of the thoughts now about, oh, we need more drilling of gas. We need more drilling of this. We need to go back to coal. No, we don't. We absolutely don't. And we have to prevent a false narrative from entering into this or, again, pun intended, we are cooked.
844-500-4242. We got a lot more of these hot takes that aren't aging so well for the Democrats as they start to try to bully the oil refiner companies. We'll take your calls. I'll read you this piece when we come back. We got a lot more to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right. I've kind of written all these things down, what I want to tackle in the next 15 to 20 minutes. And of course, the listeners are my number one priority. If you have something you want to add into the conversation, the lines are open. It's 844-500-4242. And it all kind of connects all these different issues that the Biden administration is struggling with. And one thing I wanted to start this...
Struggling.
this segment with is Harry Enten from CNN. He's the CNN senior data reporter. And we've heard this a lot, these comparisons to Jimmy Carter. At first, it was kind of a real damaging insult to Joe Biden. And then over time, as things have gotten progressively worse, you realize this is more of an insult to Jimmy Carter. Because I think he was probably relieved when the comparison started, where he was like, oh, good, this guy's going to outdo me as far as the worst president. Not that Jimmy Carter's the worst president, but one of the worst in most of our lifetimes. I wasn't even alive when Jimmy Carter was president, but I know we have listeners who were. So I think Jimmy Carter was probably thinking, well, this is good because this guy really sucks. And in comparison, in hindsight, he makes me look decent. Not decent, but better, I guess. And now I think he's looking at this going, whoa, I was not this bad. So let's have Harry Enten, and then I want to talk about a pretty big difference I see between Jimmy Carter and Joe Biden, and there's a few major ones. This is Harry Enten on CNN. This is cut 20.
And how does President Biden's performance rate?
Awful.
I mean, I knew that was the answer.
The answer is awful. I mean, you know, I'll compare it to Carter at this point, his presidency, right? Look at the disapproval rating Joe Biden has on inflation right now. It's over 70%. Carter was not even there at this point in mid-1978. When you're doing worse than Jimmy Carter's doing in the minds of Americans on inflation, you know that they're holding you responsible for the conditions that are currently on the ground that are hurting Americans in their pocketbooks.
Yeah, and it's the worst sentiment since, forget Jimmy Carter. Listen to this cut. This is cut 19. This is also Harry Enten.
How bad is the surge in prices?
It's awful. I mean, it's awful, and how people feel about it is even worse. You know, you look at the consumer sentiment right now, and what do you see? This is the worst consumer sentiment ever measured by the University of Michigan, going all the way back since 1952.
Wow.
You basically, even if you double my age, that doesn't get you back to 1952. And while I'm young, I'm not that young, right? The second worst 1980, the third worst 1980, I don't have to remind you, inflation got Jimmy Carter. It killed that presidency. And in terms of why are consumers feeling this bad? Well, it's pretty clear why they're feeling this bad. And that is because the consumer price index is the worst it's ever been in a midterm cycle since 74.
Yeah, hold on, pause. I have two things to say. One is that I still don't understand why Fox Business and other outlets are putting out headlines today that say May retail sales unexpectedly decline as sizzling hot inflation weighs on spending. I'm not a Nobel laureate. Okay, I'm not an economist. I didn't even take like basic, stats or anything like that in school. I didn't take any of those classes. I'm not a finance whiz by any means. But even I know, even Grace Curley, the average three squares staring at the ceiling fan type of gal, knows that when things are expensive, I think twice about whether or not I need it. I'm not as eager to buy it. If I'm looking at something that 6 months ago was half the price, and now I'm looking at it going, do I really need this right now? Is this a necessity for me? Can I skip it? Because it's going to be a lot more painful to buy it. So if I know that, why are all these experts taken aback by the fact that May retail sales are down? The decline is unexpected. But let's go back to the Jimmy Carter comparison, because a lot of people say, well, you know, there is a big difference. It did feel like Jimmy Carter cared more. I think that even if you ask Howie, I mean, Howie voted for Jimmy Carter once. He knew enough the second time. I think it's one of his biggest regrets in life. And by the way, they mentioned 1980, and there was a lot of talk about Carter and Reagan. People should remember that as we do this comparison, Reagan beat Carter 489 electoral votes to 49. So this wasn't a close race because of inflation. Now, the difference, I think, there's two major differences with Biden and Carter. Is one, that Carter, a lot of people say he's a nice guy. Like he cared. You know, he wasn't doing anything on purpose. People are starting to question with Joe Biden whether or not this stuff's on purpose. Because to fail this badly, you have to have some sort of level of intent behind it. It's hard to bleep up this badly this quickly. That's number one. And then number two thing I would say, which I was talking to Howie about, is that, and I've heard a lot of people mention this, Carter brought in good people to try to fix the problem. He brought in Paul Volcker, who was the Federal Reserve guy who was working on inflation. And I think he was really good at working on inflation, so much so that Reagan kept him on, I believe. And so he brought in people in a desperate attempt to help out the American people and try to fix this. He gave the malaise speech. He made a lot of mistakes, but that was one thing he did right. When you look at Biden and you look at the people surrounding him, you have to be perplexed to think about these eggheads who are supposedly going to fix this issue. And a perfect example is this woman, Jennifer Granholm, who's the energy secretary. She doesn't know how much a barrel of oil costs. She doesn't know anything. She doesn't know how many we use in a day, which is fine if I don't know it. It's fine if Jared doesn't know it. But if you're the Secretary of Energy and the United States is going through what we are currently going through as far as gas prices go, you should probably know that. There's probably five things you should know before you go to a podium, and that would be one of the five. That might be even the number one thing. No, you should know the average price of a gallon of gas, and then number two is how much barrels we use in a day in the United States. She didn't know that. And so now she's on CNN, and she's talking about, do I have it here, Jared? I thought I did, but maybe I didn't. Oh, perfect. I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind here. So John Berman is asking her about the price of gas. And listen to this person, and I think this does distinguish the two. He is not bringing in people who have any idea what they're doing. They can't give you a straight answer. They can't give you a plan. They talk about all these prongs. But all they do when you ask them a question is blame other people, blame other countries, blame other industries. Listen to Jennifer Granholm, Cut 5.
But if you were in Brazil, you'd be paying the same amount for gas at the pump, over $5. Yeah. If you were in Canada, you'd be paying over $6. If you were
Understood.
In Germany,
Understood,
you'd be paying
Secretary.
Over $8. So
we're talking about
this
the United
is happening
States,
around
though.
The world.
We're talking about the United States right now, what the yeah. president can do.
That's John Berman having to tell her we're talking about the United States. Can you imagine? I know this game gets old. Trust me, no one's more sick of playing this game than I am. But can you imagine if someone in Trump's administration was just, that was their answer? Oh, we're paying $5, $6 for gas here. A gallon. What are you going to do about it? Well, if you were in Brazil, that's all you got? And by the way, if you feel like you're not living in the United States of America, if the baby formula shortage, if the 3.7 bottles they brought over on a cargo plane didn't make you feel better about the state of this country right now, how's this? There's a tampon shortage, and now the New York Times is giving hot tips to people, not women, to people, to tampon users, on what to do if they can't find tampons. And I bet if you asked Jennifer Granholm, she would say, well, you know, if you're in Brazil right now, you're having a hard time finding tampons too. You know, there's a lot of other countries you're having a hard time finding tampons. Yeah, but we've always kind of, we're kind of used to a certain level of competence in this country. Maybe we shouldn't be. Maybe we all got to lower our expectations. So when the Washington Post said, lower your expectations, you might have thought, okay, well, I can't expect the economy to be doing as well. I can't expect unemployment to be doing as well. I can't expect my 401k to be doing as well. I can't expect gas prices to be this low. I bet you didn't think I need to lower my expectations about finding tampons at a store. That probably wasn't on your list. Well, add it, because they're giving hot tips. You want to know a couple? Here, I'll give you a couple. Let's see. If you can't find... Can I use an old stash of tampons? That's a question in this New York Times article. Some brands of tampons come with a date stamped on the package, but that is not an expiration date mandated by the Food and Drug Administration, or as Joe Biden likes to call it, the Federal Drug Administration. Let's see. What should I do if I run out of tampons? They say, first and foremost, if you're running low, do not try to extend your supply by wearing a tampon for longer stretches of time. That could lead to toxic shock syndrome. They talk about pads. They talk about period underwear. These are all things now that I guess this is part of America is back. Build back better. Build back better. There are no tampons. This is all part of Biden's utopia. Isn't it nice? And this piece in the Wall Street Journal says why energy companies won't produce. So let's get back to gasoline. Let's get back to oil. Because now they're the enemy. None of this is Biden's fault. None of this is Jennifer Granholm's fault. This is all everybody else's fault. The buck stops at every country, at every organization, at every Republican. And it never stops at the desk of Joe Biden. or at the ice cream bowl of Joe Biden. He doesn't strike me as someone who sits at the desk. He's more of a couch guy, I think. It says President Biden has urged oil and natural gas companies to ramp up production. And you'd think, given the current high prices, that it would be in their interest to do so. But the industry has been slow to respond, with some justification. Companies expect that as soon as the current turmoil subsides, the Biden administration will shift back to hostile rhetoric, anti-energy legislative proposals, and oppositional regulatory policies. In other words, they'll go right back to demonizing the industry. And when you demonize the industry, it's more than just rhetoric. It has actual chilling effects on investors, on how people think it's these companies are going to do in the future. And it takes billions of dollars to invest in infrastructure for these companies to succeed. And if they don't think that they're going to have the backing of the president of the United States, or at least, you know, that he'll lay off for a while, then they're not going to invest in that. They're just going to try to make their profits while they can, knowing that as soon as this thing ends, they're going to be enemy number one again. I'll finish reading this, but I want to go to the calls here. Dave, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, Gracie. I met you the other day. I want to say Zebra was 100% correct yesterday. I met you up at the WFEA encounter. I'm the Laura Ingraham complimentary man. And you do have your heads on your shoulders for hearing it all day long. You're just down earth. I want to get that out. But my real concern, if Trump does run, if Trump does win, I can't take these Trump derangement syndrome people. I can't take the media. I can't take the liberals. Maybe people will move out of the country that threatened us. I don't know. But I just can't do it again.
Yeah, and I don't think that people will ever leave. I mean, the people who promise they're going to go to Canada, threaten, because they always threaten it. Like, we're all going to go, no, Bette Midler, please. Macaroni Midler, don't leave. We need you. We need you here. Cher, please don't go to Jupiter. What will we do without you? The people who promise to leave and never do, I wouldn't count on that. As far as Trump derangement, I know it's a weird thing, Dave. And thank you, by the way, for the compliment. I loved meeting you at WFEA. It's a weird thing about Trump derangement syndrome, because you think it's going to subside, but it's really like it metastasizes. You know, it just gets worse and worse. The longer he's out, the crazier they get. And
it's a congenital condition at this point.
It's bizarre. I mean, they will do anything. And there's still people who, it doesn't matter that they're paying $6 when they get to the gas pump. If you ask them, they will still say, I don't regret it. No regrets. I would do it again. Yeah. And that is just something that you can't fix. You know what? You know what my dad used to say? You can't be crazy. You can't be crazy. So you shouldn't worry about it. You know, don't try to come up with your points at the barbecue. You're never going to beat crazy. So just let them be. Let them watch their 401ks go down the tubes. Because at least when you're watching yours go down the tubes, you know that you didn't contribute to this. You know that it wasn't your vote that led to this. They don't have that same comfort when they put their heads down on the pillow. They know that this was all they're doing. You know, they hated Trump so much. They had to get Trump out. And look where it got us. A little bit more on this before we go to the break. Oil and gas prices but many publicly traded producers are pursuing a strategy that looks like orderly liquidation, only maintaining or modestly increasing production volumes. Meanwhile, they are returning significant cash to shareholders in dividends and share repurchases. So they use Devon Energy as an example of someone who, you look at the strategy, they're not increasing their production volumes by all that much. It's pretty modest. Like many in the industry, Devon obviously believes it's better to return capital to its shareholders than to reinvest in the business. The reason is not because they want to stick it to all the American people at the gas pumps. No, the reason is the left's incessant demonizing of the fossil fuel industry, leading to near pariah status, which has succeeded in driving capital away from the industry. Voila! I believe I've solved the mystery. Do you think Joe Biden will mention that? Will there be any apologies in his open letter to these oil refiners? I don't think so. We'll be right back. We're going to continue to talk about this. I appreciate people calling in. 844-500-4242. Call in, weigh in, whether it be about the tampon shortage or the unexpected decline in retail sales, or, of course, the energy companies that won't listen to dear old Joe. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
I guarantee we're going to end fossil fuels.
What about, say, stopping fracking and stopping pipeline infrastructure?
New pipeline, exactly.
No more, no new fracking.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
I've argued against any more oil drilling or gas drilling on federal lands.
No one's going to build a coal-fired plant again, and we're going to get rid of the ones we have now.
Strange that the oil refiner companies aren't too hot on Joe Biden. It's weird. I don't understand that. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back, and it's a great value. The top three uses are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what's the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will Saudi Arabia or Big Oil help Joe alleviate gas prices?
No, I don't think either are big fans of Joe Biden.
90% of the audience says nope.
All right, Matt, very quickly. Go ahead, Matt.
Hi, Grace. I deliver cancer medication. It's actually nuclear medication that cancer patients take to detect if they have cancer or not. And I do it as a private courier. And with these gas prices, I swear, half of my check is going straight into my gas tank. And it's almost not worth doing it. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of reports, Matt, about other companies that rely heavily on delivery drivers, you know, Uber Eats, Uber in general, any of those car services. And they're having the same issue. They're trying to incentivize people to do the job because it's just not bringing in the same profits it once was. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk to Ari Hoffman from the Post Millennial. And then at 1:30, we have a really fun new contest I think people are going to like. Don't go anywhere. Next hour is going to be great. This is The Grace Curley Show.